Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome not only our many listeners in this country, but also throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme this week four talented and exciting players of the game. We're delighted to welcome back that master of ad-lib and improvised comedy, Paul Merton, the mistress of acute observational comedy, Linda Smith, the outrageous leprechaun of comedy, Graham Norton, and the master of erudite comedy, Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask the four players of the game to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the New Theatre in that elegant city of Cardiff, the capital of the great Principality of Wales. And we have before us here a passionate, warm Welsh audience ready to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Oh, Paul, what a lovely subject to begin the show with. Keeping up with the Joneses. Paul, could you talk upon the subject of keeping up with the Joneses? 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Keeping up with the Joneses means, I suppose, competing with your neighbours. If somebody next door to you gets a red car, then you must buy a deep pink motor. This is known as keeping up with the Joneses, but it begs the question, who do the Joneses keep up with? Because if you're keeping up with them, they must be keeping up with somebody else. Is there a family next to them, the Evans, perhaps, that the Joneses are definitely competing with? They
Graham Norton, you have challenged.
No, but I'm a fool.
Well, they laugh when you're fooling.
No, I thought there was another family, but there wasn't another family. They were neighbours before, and then they turned into a family, and I'm
that's right.
I'm trying too hard.
No. It's always nice to hear from you, whether you try too hard or not.
Really?
Yes, it was. It was an incorrect challenge, Paul.
It was.
You get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, keeping up with the Joneses. There are 36 seconds available, starting now.
There's a lot of Joneses live in Wales. I should imagine there's quite a few sitting in the audience tonight. Perhaps we could have a quick head count. If your name is Jones, just put your hand up and we'll have this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 31, 42, 56.
Yeah, Clement, challenge.
Repetition of one.
Yes, you had one to begin. You did repeat the word one,
yes.
So Clement has a point for a correct challenge, and he has 7 seconds to take over the subject.
7 seconds. Oh.
Yeah. And the time starts now.
I had two aunts called Joan, and keeping up with the Joneses' tortoise was fairly...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Clement Freud, and of course, he's got the most points at the end of that round. Graham Norton, will you take the next round? The subject is therapy. Tell us something about therapy. 60 seconds starting now.
I am very much in favour of therapy because, as my mother always taught me, and I've said it before,
Paul Merton challenge.
Not now!
Repetition, he said it before.
Paul, it's a devious thought, but he didn't actually deviate by saying those words in this particular round.
As so I've said before.
Yeah, but he hadn't actually said anything before, other than that. And
I think you're just being picky there.
So, an incorrect challenge.
Yeah.
Graham, and you keep the subject, and you have 53 seconds. Therapy starting now.
My favourite form of therapy is physical therapy. This is where you literally try to knock sense into someone with a big stick. Oh, joy as they lie there on a couch and you have a large bat beating them into a sort of coma, essentially, and they pay you for the privilege. Ah, the joy of being that thing that...
Linda Smith, you challenge.
I think we may have had two joys.
Yes, there was a too much joy there, yes.
Which is no bad thing, obviously.
Linda, a correct challenge. You have 29 seconds. Tell us something about therapy, starting now.
Therapy is the only form of medicine that the better you get, the more you have to have. So they'll say something like, you're doing ever so well, you better keep coming for another year at 50.
The Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition is better.
You said better, yes, before, yes. Clement, therapy, 18 seconds, starting now.
When my distinguished relative Anna Freud reached her 80th birthday, she got a telegram which said, the rapists of Philadelphia send their best wishes. It was actually therapists, and the post office woman did not understand the word.
Oh, that brilliant thought of Clement's brought that particular round to an end, and he gained an extra point for speaking, so whistle went anyway, other points in the round. He's got a strong lead. In fact, he's in the lead with 6 points, and the other three have all got one apiece. And Linda Smith, your turn to begin. The subject, hedgehogs. Tell us something about hedgehogs in just a minute, starting now.
Hedgehogs have lovely spiky haircuts that look so cute on them and so tragic on Gary Rhodes. I think they're lovely little creatures. They have this spikiness, which I enjoy very much, but must be quite difficult. Hence the question, how do hedgehogs make love? Answer with great caution and a first aid kit and some germaline nearby. I would imagine we very rarely see a whole three-dimensional hedgehog. They're usually flat, sort of hedgehog-shaped table mats on the road. I think they're very much like Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, in that they're very, very... Well, I wonder what that was, that challenge.
Maybe I was listening too carefully there. Yeah, but... yeah.
The audience were living every word with you, Linda. But Graham got in first on the very, very repetition. 18 seconds. Tell us something about hedgehogs, Graham, starting now.
The best thing about hedgehogs is if, as in the lovely book Alice in Wonderland, you play croquet with them as balls, they are not only super things to hit, but also aerate your lawn at the same time.
So Graham Norton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now moved into second place. Clement Freud, your turn to begin, and the subject now is my favourite word. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Rather as one's favourite food changes from time to later on. So my favourite word used to be demobilisation, and then became unguent. P.T. Barnum, the great circus man, was acquainted one day of the death of the man who was shot from the cannon and said, this is grave news. It will be hard to find a man of the same caliber. Now, C-A-L-I-B-R-E is certainly one of my favourite words, as is unguent. Now that...
Linda Smith challenged.
Hardly dare to raise the matter, but there were two unguents. Which I think is repetition. I may be wrong. I was only half listening.
Right, Linda, 22 seconds on my favourite word starting now.
My favourite word depends very much on the context of its use. For example, is the bar open? My favourite word there would be yes. It is open for drinks.
Clement challenge. Yes, you've got back. There were two opens, and the bar was too open. Obviously, your thirst was not quenched. Right, 10 seconds. My favourite word, Clement, starting now.
Lascivious is now my favourite word, as is goose liver truffle.
Paul challenged.
Well, you can't have... You've said lascivious is your favourite word now, as is goose liver truffle. Well, they can't all be your favourite word. You only have one favourite word.
Well, as is goose liver truffle next week.
Yeah. Well...
No.
We can't play the game on what your favourite word's going to be next week, Clement. No. Paul, anarchy would rule.
I agree with you, Paul. No,
Nicholas, he's talking nonsense, isn't he?
I know, absolutely, yes.
But they favourite word struggle, next week?
Every week, you all struggled to justify what you've just said. So, Paul, a correct challenge. And you've got 2 seconds to tell us something about my favourite word starting now.
My favourite word, and has been since 19...
So, Paul Merton spoke as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in second place with Graham Norton. They're just trailing Clement Freud and they're just ahead of Linda Smith. Graham, your turn to begin. The subject, rugby. That is a passion in Wales. And they've got that wonderful Millennium Stadium there where the great events take place. But, yes... Right, that was a sport at which I excelled when I was young, and I still love watching it. But Graham, tell us something about rugby, starting now.
I was quite surprised at school, when I had to play rugby, to discover that this thing called sport actually hurts. Where's the fun in that? I know Wales is very good at it, but you excel at other things.
Paul Challenge.
Well, you said Wales is very good at rugby. Are you talking about now or sort of... Oh, in the glorious past.
It's sort of in their blood, I'm sensing.
I think you've established what you were saying, and I think Paul was extremely brave to make that particular remark, because thank goodness there's a rail preventing the audience coming up on the stage. But an incorrect challenge, Graham. Carry on with rugby, and 43 seconds starting now.
Good people, you are excellent at singing and digging. Why not do them when you fancy a bit of outdoor activity? Perhaps get a spade, a big hole, and then yee-haw, a lovely chanty tune.
Poor child.
Yee-haw, a lovely chanting tune.
That's what I said, fluently.
So which challenge do you want?
Well, it's a bit deviation.
That was deviation, but yes, I thought you were hesitation. Right. You've got the subject, Paul. You have 27 seconds. It's rugby starting now.
We only have to take our minds back to the 1970s. Barry John, Gareth Edwards, Phil Bennett. Let's now have a moment's silence while we think about them.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
He said, let's have a moment's silence, but he didn't even have the moment.
No.
You came in before the moment had even started.
Yes.
If a moment's silence is not hesitation.
A moment's silence is a hesitational type thought, but he didn't actually hesitate.
No.
Let's start writing this down. I think it's going to be good.
As I keep saying, we're working in the realms of sound. It's what he says. He didn't actually hesitate. 15 seconds, still with rugby, still with you, Paul, starting now.
The Cardiff Millennium Stadium has been mentioned, and what a magnificent structure it is. Why, even the English FA saw fit to carry the final there instead of Wembley, which is currently undergoing refurbishment, or demolition, as I prefer to think of it.
So, Paul, you rehabilitated yourself with this audience with your other comments about some of the greats of Welsh rugby there. And you've now taken the lead ahead of Clement Freud and Graham Norton and Linda Smith in that order. And, Linda, your turn to begin. The subject is pear-shaped. Tell us something about pear-shaped in just a minute, starting now.
Pear-shaped is an expression people use when something has gone horribly wrong in any kind of way. For example, the Jeffrey Archer trial, from that man's point of view, went pear-shaped really quite early in the proceedings. And I cannot help but feel for poor Mary, his wife, because now that he's in prison, she'll have to see him on a regular basis, which is not... How they have conducted their union so far, and one can understand why. Pear-shaped is a strange shape to choose as something that is bad, because pear-shaped is a lovely shape, I think. A better fruit to choose to denote disaster would be the star fruit. What on earth is that? It's a mess. It tastes of nothing. It looks scary.
So Linda Smith started with a subject, went with style and panache, and finished with a subject. 60 seconds. Hasn't happened for quite a while, Linda.
I've just hit on the right combination of drugs, Nicholas.
Right. Well, you not only get a point for speaking when the whistle went, but you get a bonus point for not having been interrupted. And you went magnificently, but you're still in third place. That's what's so unfair about this show. You contribute so much and you get so few points. But anyway, Linda, well done. Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject that has been thought of for you is Anne Robinson. I can see why they've given the subject to you, because it was on your programme, you know.
It's a bit early for pantomime, isn't it?
Yes. My God, and she's in the audience too. There we are. Paul, the subject is Anne Robinson. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, she's known for hosting a show called The Weakest Link, and she did appear on a programme of mine earlier this year called Room 101, and she did criticise the Welsh in a very heavy manner. Normally, when we have guests on that programme, I usually have lunch with them beforehand and we discuss the topics. We didn't do it on this occasion, as she didn't have time, and so I had no idea, really, what she was going to say. Which is true, I didn't.
Linda challenged.
Oh, just to save a lynching, really.
But have you got a challenge?
Yeah, he hesitated.
He did actually hesitate, yes.
I didn't know what
you
were going to say.
Yes, I think so. So, will you tell us...
I'd have told her not to say it.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I would have done. No, I would have done.
Absolutely. Well, you love the Welsh, I know.
Yeah.
I know that. It's one of your passions. So, Linda, he did hesitate, so 34 seconds, tell us something about Anne Robinson, starting now.
Anne Robinson is very ignorant and stupid, I think. I have heard her on The Weakest Link, a show mentioned early, and no wonder people get the questions wrong.
Graham Norton challenge.
The show mentioned early.
I thought I said earlier.
Yeah, I think
from being very close to you, very close.
close.
Not as close to your mouth to your ear,
no.
But very, very close.
I was on the other side of her, and I thought I heard earlier.
Did you?
Yes, I don't think it was...
Did you? I wouldn't argue with you.
Anyway. Right, so Anne Robinson's
livid.
Still with you. I should explain to our listeners that Graham Norton's mobile face is working overtime at the moment. And our audience are enjoying it here, but it's not great radio, but at least if you know what's happening, I'm sure you can visualise it in China and India and South Africa and all the other places.
If Graham has a mobile face, does it stop working when he walks under bridges?
So, Linda, I didn't think you deviated there, so Anne Robinson is still with you. I don't know whether you want her or not, but it's 24 seconds available starting now.
The ginger-haired, sour-faced Anne Robinson, who has an expression on her mush pretty similar to the one on Graham's at the moment, but one of bitterness and contempt. As I say, she mispronounces things all the time on The Weakest Link, not that I watch very often.
Graham Norton challenged.
Oh, yeah, no, this is right. I'm right now. Weakest link, repetition.
I'm sorry. Yeah. She didn't use the weakest link. It was Paul who said the weakest link.
She did, because that was the whole thing about the early thing. Weakest link mentioned... Oh, she...
I must explain to our listeners.
No, don't. Okay,
please. I have
no,
got
no,
to.
No.
Graham got so carried away and gesticulated so magnificently, he knocked his glass of water flying right across the table. But Graham, you have got a correct challenge.
I don't deserve it.
No. I only...
Look at the mess.
I only tried to generate fun there because I knew you'd get passionate and do something outrageous, which you've done. Okay. And but she did repeat Weakest Link. Okay. And you've got Anne Robinson. 7 seconds starting now.
Essentially, Anne Robinson is God's revenge on America. Yes, they got quite smug there for a while.
One thing I'm certain of, Anne Robinson will never want to be a guest on Just a Minute. So.
Not in Cardiff, anyway.
No, so Graham Norton was speaking as a whistle and gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal in third place with Linda Smith. They're just behind Clement Freud, and he's not far behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject, castles. Tell us something about castles in Just a Minute, starting now.
Castles are places people lived in until they received their first gas bill and realized...
Paul Merton is challenging.
Well, very slight elongation and hesitation.
Yes, I don't know what he was trying to say, but it will interpret his hesitation. Paul, 50 seconds on castles, starting now.
They do seem to be rather romantic places, but as Graham, I think, was suggesting there, they must have been quite uncomfortable in the winter. No windows to speak of, drafty holes all over the place. They do sort of survive as ruins, apart from the royal family, I'm not talking about them, being in a sort of ruinous state, but the houses... And castle.
Linda challenged.
Just a touch of hesitation.
Yes, there was an definite there.
Was.
32 seconds, Linda. Tell us something about castles, starting now.
Castles are places you're dragged round by your mum and dad as a sort of educational treat. Well, there isn't much pleasure for a kid to be called a...
Graham Norton challenged.
That was hesitation.
That was hesitation, yes, Graham. Yes. So you got castles back. You have 22 seconds. Tell us more about them starting now.
Castles can be practical places, though, particularly if you're someone like Errol Flynn, say. For God knows he couldn't have done much swashbuckling in my mother's lounge without breaking her lovely collection of Royal Doulton figurines. And as for swinging through the louvered French windows, sure, he'd never have landed on that coffee table from that distance. I like castles very much.
So the scoring system is getting very close. Graham Norton then speaking as the whistle went up with other points in the round as well. He's now moved forward. He's equal with Clement Freud in second place. They're only 2 points ahead of Linda Smith. They're all training Paul Merton just a little. Linda, your turn to begin. The subject, thunder and lightning. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Thunder and lightning are usually bracketed together like sex and violence or Richard and Judy, pairs like of that nature. My mum used to say when it thundered that that was God moving his furniture around, so I suppose lightning was God plugging in a...
Oh, Paul, challenge.
There is only one God.
I wasn't suggesting a break from monotheism there. I was just saying that she suggested when he was doing that, I mean, God can do everything at once, can't he? He's omnipresent.
Yes, but you did repeat the word God.
Did I?
Yes,
you did.
But can you say it too many times?
No. Yes.
In just a minute, you can. So, Paul, the correct challenge, 43 seconds. Thunder and lightning starting now.
It was one of the Strausses in Vienna that wrote the thunder and lightning polka, and it's very, very exciting.
Graham.
What am I doing? There was hesitation there.
It was hesitation, yes. 38 seconds. Thunder and lightning, back with you, starting now.
Thunder and lightning are very, extremely frightening. Ooh, to look out of the window and see those things in the sky.
It's a challenge.
Thank you.
Linda, he seems grateful, but what
yes,
do you challenge
it was
for?
Just his pleading eyes, really.
He was pleading. But he didn't actually do anything wrong
with
the
rules. It was like Battersea Dogs Home, really. Help me.
Yes, it did look a little bit like that. But you didn't actually hesitate or repeat anything or deviate. So, 30 seconds, thunder and lightning, starting now.
I well remember. No, I do. Being in the south of France, a small town called L'Isle Jourdain, not far from Toulouse, it was a happy summer. Oh, how we laughed. That was the summer we smiled and giggled like school
poor
kids.
Tunch.
We haven't got to thunder and lightning yet.
No.
It's a bit of a build-up. You know how it gets. The clouds are gathering.
Yes.
I'm saying about 4 o'clock.
Yes. but the in just a minute, you have to establish the subject much quicker
Sorry,
than that.
I
you don't apologise, because they love it.
Really.
And they love you in the show.
It was shameless.
And that's why we... And Paul, correct challenge. 15 seconds. Thunder and lightning starting now.
They are two extremes of weather that normally do go together. And that wasn't meant to rhyme, but somehow it did. I have a facility for that kind of thing. I'm a poet and I don't know it. Thunder and lightning. What could conjure up the... Oh, thank God for that.
Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of that round, and we're moving into the final round in this show. I think it was worth more than that, actually.
Yes, but they've seen the show now.
We have a situation where we have three people almost equal in second place, Graham Norton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. Only 1 point separates the three of them. But a little way ahead, by 4 or 5 points, is Paul Merton. And but Clement Freud begins the last round. It still could be anybody's game in points, but we don't know. Let's find out as Clement talks about leeks. It's Welsh, it's other things, and it is 60 seconds starting now.
Leeks are a traditional Welsh vegetable, I think wonderfully well served, undercooked with olive oil and chopped chives. The Scots have a soup called cocky leeky, which you would think would be a slightly incontinent condition, but is in fact a chicken broth with leeks and prunes. It's very odd to have those dried plums in a consommé such as that. Leeks, Mari Tempest used to talk about with tremendous candour.
Paul Merton challenge.
Was that a hesitation?
It was a hesitation, yes. 21 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about leeks starting now.
I once had a leak in my parents' bedroom, and it was something that needed a plumber to come round and have a look at it, and they'd gone out to church, and I didn't know what to do, so I phoned up this number in the book, and a man came round, and luckily he was somebody who was skilled in the plumbing art, so otherwise I wouldn't have spoken to him. But he was brilliant, because within seconds, if not minutes, he had literally transformed...
So Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, brought that round to an end, got an extra point for doing so and increased his lead. And the final situation is that Clement Freud, Graham Norton and Linda Smith are all equal. Well, 1 point's different between them, it doesn't really matter. But out in the lead, yes, almost doubling the score of the others, was Paul Merton. So Paul, we say you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to our four outstanding players of the game. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds was up. And we are grateful to our producer and director, that is Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, but we are deeply indebted to our audience here at the New Theatre in Cardiff for the warmth and passion they've shown as they've cheered us on our way. So from our audience in Wales and from our panel and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.